Hey everyone, Dr. Miles here. This is Module 2, Video 5. We're talking about small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, how to test. So, in how to test, we're going to talk to you about the testing methods that are available, which we prefer, what length of test to do, some common testing errors. And so, first I want to chat a little bit about lactulose versus glucose breath testing. Now, breath testing is the best way at present to test for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth outside of a laboratory setting, and arguably even inside of a laboratory setting. In a laboratory setting, there may be a culturing of duodenal aspirate of some of the juices in the small intestine to look and see bacterial counts in the small intestine. That, though, is highly invasive, and it gets one spot, not an average over the whole small intestine, because we can have one area overgrown and another area not. So what a lactulose or a glucose-based breath test does is a breath test involves measuring gases in the breath. And by measuring gases in the breath, we can have a patient ingest a solution. And that solution is a sugar, and that sugar can travel through the small intestine, and we can take breath samples every 15 to 30 minutes over the time in which that sugar is moving through the intestinal tract, and that can give us a sense for the gas changes in the different level layers or areas of the small intestine. Now, two sugars that are commonly available are lactulose and glucose. So the advantage of breath testing in general is we get to look at the whole length of the small intestine and see if there might be overgrowths in part of the small intestine. And we also may even get to see part of the large intestine depending on how long we do the testing for. Now, glucose breath testing has the advantage of if it shows positive, it has less of a chance of being a false positive. In other words, if it does show positive, it's very highly correlated with actually being a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And that's because the glucose is more rapidly absorbed into the intestines, which means that it may not even make it to the end of the small intestine, which means that you're not likely to get large intestinal bacteria throwing you off in your interpretation. So glucose has the advantage of less false positives, but it has the disadvantage of more false negatives, meaning that because it's so rapidly absorbed, it may not get to the end of the small intestine, where many overgrowths may be happening towards the distal end of the small intestine, and glucose breath tests may miss those. Lactulose breath tests have the advantage of catching more of those distal small intestinal overgrowths because lactulose is an indigestible sugar or a less digestible sugar than glucose, so it tends to make its way through the entire digestive tract intact, which means that the distal overgrowths of bacteria can be checked for. So lactulose has the advantage of less false negatives, but it does have more false positives because lactulose is also a laxative, and being a laxative, it does move the intestines a little more quickly, and it may be unclear that in some people with faster transit time where exactly and specifically it's crossed from the small intestine into the large intestine. And when we're interpreting results, we interpret results differently for hydrogen gas if it's in the small intestine versus if it's in the large intestine. So it can lead to a little bit of confusion for especially around that 120-minute mark where it may be transitioning into the large intestine. It may have already transitioned. It may not yet have transitioned into the large intestine. And it offers the disadvantage of having some confusion about that. But overall, I prefer to use, and most clinicians who are very, very skilled at working with small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, I believe prefer to use lactulose so long as they understand interpretation, and you should understand interpretation very, very well after this course, because we really go in depth into how to interpret and understand lactulose breath testing. So we will be teaching you the ins and outs and the intricacies of using lactulose breath testing. And we do recommend using lactulose as long as you understand the intricacies of how to interpret, which we will be training you in through this test. So that's why we're going to use lactulose, is because we don't want to miss cases of bacterial overgrowth. We're going to catch more with lactulose, and we're going to avoid some of the false positives by understanding the limitations of lactulose, the laxative properties of lactulose, and how to interpret that 120-minute mark. There's also some tests offered that are 3-hour and some tests offered that are 2-hour. And the 3-hour tests are preferred, in our opinion, because you want that large intestinal hour, which is the third hour, typically, where the sugar is going through the large intestine, for methane levels. Hydrogen levels aren't going to tell a lot in the third hour unless they don't rise. Normally, they rise high, and that high rise doesn't tell us that there's any problem. It actually is normal. If it's a flat-lined hydrogen value in the large intestine in that third hour, we have to start asking ourselves some questions. Why is that happening? And we'll go over some issues that can cause that to happen in that third hour. But what does make us really want that third hour is we do want to see if there's a certain methane gas that's elevated anywhere in the 3 hours. And that's going to be a problem anywhere that it is manifest. So we'll go over how to interpret methane, what it means, but we definitely want to make sure that the lactulose breath test that we choose measures both hydrogen and methane gases, and that it's a 3-hour test, because the 2-hour test may miss some methane types of SIBO that we would be able to diagnose with that third hour in that test. Testing technique. People are going to be breathing into a tube. We want their breath in that tube and not the outside atmospheric air, which means we want to encourage people to watch the videos that are provided with the test and follow the instructions extremely closely in order to make sure that you're only getting your breath in the tube and not outside air, because outside air will contaminate the sample and will not make it a valid sample. And if too many samples aren't valid, then we'll have to redo the test, and the test involves a prep diet, and it's not an easy test to do. So please just make that test accurate by following the technique very, very clearly. The lab instructions are typically good for most of the labs, and many of the labs have videos where you can follow along. Just make sure a person is breathing out prior to inserting the tube into the needle, and continuing to breathe out even after pulling the tube out of the needle. You don't want to take a breath in the middle of when the tube is inserted, because what you want to do is you make sure that the breath is what's entering that tube. So you're exhaling, penetrating the tube while you're continuing to exhale, and then pull the tube out where you're continuing to exhale the full time, always exhaling. So that's the big testing technique thing. The other mistake people make is they brush their teeth the morning of the test. Tell them not to do that. And the other mistake that people make is they haven't done the prep diet properly or for long enough. If it's a constipated patient, you may want to have them do it longer than other patients. So 1 to 2 days before the test, doing the proper prep diet, avoiding fiber in the diet, and following the very specific instructions on diet with the test is very, very important. And then fasting overnight is very, very important. And then avoiding smoking and vigorous exercise during the test as well. So avoid brushing teeth, avoid smoking, avoid vigorous exercise. All these are in the instructions for the test kits. Just advise patients to be very diligent in following those instructions. The biggest patient testing error is breathing incorrectly. So please make sure that people understand to breathe correctly. Make sure they do the prep diet properly, and make sure that they follow the instructions on the morning of the test to a T. They need to take that lactulose and mix it with water, not just drink the lactulose syrup in and of itself, and make sure they don't miss actually drinking the lactulose syrup, because that's going to cause a big problem. So there are lots of things that need to be attended to. So we do recommend a lactulose breath test that tests hydrogen and methane gases. It's not going to test for the hydrogen sulfide gas at present. In the future, we're hoping there will be a test available for that, but you'll have to rely on interpretation for that for now, which means you want the 3-hour test, because that's going to help with hydrogen sulfide interpretation and for methane interpretation. And then make sure that the testing technique on the breathing is done properly and the prep diet is done properly and the instructions are followed to a T. So next video, module 2, video 6, will be about where to test for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. We'll catch you then. Thanks and take good care.